Greg Gochran from Wasted here at the Ideal Homes exhibition. We're talking to Bob Flavin, YouTube extraordinaire. How many people watch your channel?
20 million, a little over 20 million.
20 million, wowzer. Now, you're here a brand ambassador, an electric car ambassador here. We're looking at the sublime to the quite ridiculous. You just give me some numbers. The government and how much money they're putting into electric cars.
In the last budget, they promised 8 million euro towards electric cars, and they promised 20 million towards the ESB to upgrade their network as well. Yeah. Now, the 20 million is very welcome. That will fix some of the stuff that's out there, and that will create new stuff. But the 8 million towards electric cars is only 800 cars when you actually multiply it out towards grants.
And overall sales in terms of a percentage, what's 800 cars?
It's less than 2.6% of the market. So it's a very, very small amount of the market is what the electric cars actually make up. And this is the biggest issue we're looking at. The government are saying on one hand that they're going to really support electric car ownership. And on the other hand, they're not actually really materializing into money, into supports, into what we're looking for. There's things we actually want people to do, like give us free access to bus lanes, give us free parking at fast charge points. You know, these things have to be done because some people are getting parking tickets at fast charge points and other people aren't.
Yes.
So there's no law to cover which one is right.
And then we hear the stories of people with the app, and I think RTE did it where they had a Golf and an electric car doing the same run, but the app is telling you the charge point isn't working.
Yep.
You drive along, the charge point is fine, or the charge point is busy and there's two empty spaces.
Yep.
So there's still a heap of work to be done.
Tons. And the problem with the app is it was developed a few years back.
Yeah.
And has never, the API part, the governments underneath have never been released to the public, so no one's ever modified it. And so we don't have any competitor app that's able to give us the same information.
Yeah.
We have apps like Google Maps can tell you where the charge points are, but it can't tell you if the charge point is empty, free, working, or what. It can just tell you where it is, as long as it knows where it is. So why not give the information to Google Maps and let them deal with getting us to the charge points? I mean, it's the biggest company in the world, so let them at it. You know?
They're pretty good at it.
Yeah. They've already got the map, so they can guide you directly to the thing. So why not leave them at it?
Some of the cars here, we're looking at Hyundai. The big star, I suppose, in terms of eyes on a car today, is the small entry-level Tesla. Tell us a bit about that.
Tesla started the game off, really. Mm. Everybody kind of laughed at Tesla when it started off. First, pure electric cars, no other version of it. There's no PHEVs, nothing else, just electric. But pricey. They do start at a high price.
For sure.
They are a luxury brand, or they say they're a luxury brand. So the Tesla has the best brand recognition. If Elon Musk at the very top of it, he tweets, everybody, you know, whatever he does, everybody pays attention to. So for that element, they've done very well in the marketing scheme of things because they haven't had any competition until now.
Mm.
This year we have Audi coming into the game, we have BMW looking around the edge as well to start doing it. Mercedes have done a whole fleet of electric cars. So now this, suddenly he'll have a bit of competition, so he needs to up the game a little bit.
And Toyota, they're saying from 2021, no petrol or diesel variants in Ireland, it'll be all...
None whatsoever.
Or maybe the Yaris, the little 1 litre thing.
The 1 litre will stay as a hybrid for a while. Now, within a few years, they'll shift to total electric. So hybrid is, they were announcing it as the only way they were going to go, but they announced yesterday that they're actually going to make an electric version of a RAV4 soon. So that's on the way. So pure electric is definitely on the way from Toyota as well. Volvo equally have stopped making diesel engines. They're still buying diesel engines. It's a slight change of phrase, right? So they still buy them in from BMW, but they don't make them anymore. So everybody is making those singular steps towards where we want to be, which is pure electric, or at least environmentally friendly version of diesel and petrol.
I'm looking at the Hyundai stand, and they're saying by 2040, there's hydrogen talk, which has always been, they say, the game changer. But at the moment, hydrogen will probably just be like a bomb on wheels. 2040, do you think that's realistic?
I think it'll actually be sooner. There's a lot of investment going on around the world quietly in hydrogen and how we get it. We can get it from manure, we can get it from many different sources. And weirdly, Irish manure, because our beef is grass-fed, actually makes better hydrogen than normal farm-fed cattle.
So the cows have a purpose after all.
We could do digesters here and create hydrogen for all our cars. Now, hydrogen is really expensive to transport around, to put into the ground, to keep it stored. You're putting a nuclear bomb under the ground, essentially. But we could make depots to feed bus networks or to feed truck networks where they go back to a depot to fill up every time. We don't need to create hundreds of small petrol stations, we need to create one big petrol station that all the buses get fed from in a hydrogen sense. Then we don't have to worry about electric buses or anything else. They're hydrogen powered just like they are now, only we get rid of the diesel but in hydrogen instead.
Okay. Bob, we're just talking here off mic, we're talking about cars and the batteries, and there's a whole lot of stuff people don't know. We all know about mining the ores from the ground and the damage that is doing, but you're talking, for example, weight under the floor. The floor pan is basically you're driving on a massive battery.
Yep.
Tell us a bit about, for example, weight and the actual sheer power of these things.
The problem with weight, if you, no matter what way you look at it, no matter what race driver you talk to, no matter what engineer you talk to, if you want a car to handle better, go further,
lighter,
or be, everything is about the weight of the car. It has to be lighter to do everything.
Mm.
If you want to go around a lap faster in a Formula One car, it's about the weight distribution of the car. So if you take the engine, which is the heavy bit normally in the cars, out the front of a car, usually, if you move that and move the weight under the floor of the car, like you do an electric car, where the batteries move under there, the engine weighs next to nothing really. But that weight, if you want to go further, it actually has to get heavier. So for the first time in our lifetime of cars, to go further, you need to add weight. That means add more battery to it. But there's a point where you will get no further because the car is just so heavy. You have to give it so much torque just to get moving, you lose all of that power. So the average weight of these cars is near 3 tons.
Yeah.
Some of the bigger ones are
the big Tesla
to 5.
Is what?
Yeah, 5 tons.
Wow.
Almost 5.
It's
so
a truck.
And once you put 7 people in it,
yeah,
you are at 5 tons.
Yes.
It's now getting insanely weighty. Now it's still due to range, but you can see the environmental impact on the tires, on the road wear, on all, because of these heavier and heavier vehicles we're putting out the whole time. So the only way to get any of these things to go further is to give them more batteries or to make them lighter.
Mm.
So if you make them lighter, the same batteries will carry it further. But if you make them lighter, they don't feel as luxurious. And this roundabout circle of trying to find the best balance between the two. The Hyundai Kona will go probably the furthest out of this list this year, along with the Model 3, but the difference in price is gigantic,
yeah,
the two of them. But the Kona solved by making it lighter. The Model 3 is heavier.
Yes.
And if you go into something like Audi or any of the Mercedes range, they are getting really insane weight there. So weight is the biggest research point right now.
Yeah.
How to shave grams of weight without changing the weight of the battery, without changing the size of the capacity of the battery.
You'll find that they start doing tricks with lighter paint and all kinds of things.
Everything.
Very much like things learned from motor racing.
Yep.
The lighter it is, the faster it is.
Yeah.
Well, we were just talking there about the exhilaration you were saying about when you get into one first, because a lot of people might be listening to this and they're going, oh, I want to see, and you hear the stories about, you get into it and it's silence. You hear cabbies talking about killing seagulls because the seagull hasn't heard the car rolling up on the road. But you're saying you get in and it's bonkers fast from the get-go, but then after a while, what happens? Go on.
So once you've experienced that 0-60 time of like 3 seconds, which is like Ferrari speed,
yes,
you would have had to buy something like a Ferrari before. Once you've done that 20 times, it stops being amusing and starts being the norm. So after a bit, you get into the frame of mind that these electric cars are quite normal. So that shouldn't be your point to buy a car. You don't want to worry about how fast you can go beyond someone else. It's about how much energy you're saving all the time. So you burn energy by going 0-60 all the time. So eventually it becomes boring. It's simply just a car will become a car and stop being something that goes from 0-60 in 2.9 seconds.
But it is bragging rights, I suppose, in the golf club or whatever. Now, we're talking about batteries and the stuff coming out of the ground. I said to you, which I didn't know, it's completely blind, life expectancy on these things, on this battery, and you gave me some interesting numbers.
There is some, you've got 7-year warranty on most of these car companies will warranty that. That's the kind of average. Some are a little bit longer, some are a little bit shorter, but 7 years seems to be about the average. In that 7 years, if the battery still has 70% of its charge left, there's no warranty. They're not going to replace that for you. That 20% that's gone walking on you is not under warranty. If it dips to 69 or 68%, they will replace it. But you will lose that first 20%, and there's no warranty on that part. So your range gets less. Now, I have a 13-year-old petrol car at home that did about 600 kilometers when it was new.
Yeah.
It still does 600 kilometers. That hasn't changed whatsoever.
Yeah.
So that's something we're going to have to get used to. It probably won't happen the first owner, you know, the first 3-4 years of ownership, but the second or the third or the subsequent owner will get less and less life out of that battery until we have to replace it. Currently replacing a battery pack in an average car is over €5,000. So it's over the value of the car usually. It's usually a write-off.
Mm.
Second thing to bear in mind is we haven't had this yet either. If one of these electric cars is in a collision,
yes,
that intrudes into the battery compartment, it's a write-off. No one's going to replace that battery.
Won't touch it.
It's gone. It'll
yeah.
just be written off and it'll be recycled. Fair
yes.
enough, it's gone into a recycling system. But it's not going to be repairable. Unlike an ICE engine car, which if it's in a collision, you can probably put new bumpers on or whatever, but keep going. If the battery is intruded on, forget it. It's
a junk.
Yep.
Wow. This weekend, you're here, you're talking about all things electric. you know, all the time we keep hearing about a game changer, a game changer. I reckon when somebody, I think Renault have done something in China or India with a tiny car with a battery. I think that's the game changer. It's like a smart car for the city. What do you reckon at the moment, where are we heading?
Right now, we've got to get less cars on the road. It's not that we need to replace our entire fleet perfectly. Mm. We have 2.9 million cars in Ireland or so, thereabouts. We don't need 2.9 million electric cars. No. We actually need 1.5 million cars total. That's it. Everything else becomes public transport, bicycles. Electric scooters are here as well. I mean, they're a good way forward. That's a good way to start it. We need to downsize what we think is a car and personal transport, because that's what's happened in the last 100 years. We've gone from owning a horse to owning a car. But now we own two cars, not two horses, we own two cars, or three or four. We have a family of five people, we all own our own car each. That's an insane way to go on. We can't continue to do that. The roads can't cope, just infrastructure can't cope with that. So the only way forward, really, it's to wean people off owning cars themselves.
That's a pretty hard task.
That's going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
You noticed the other day Nissan put out a release saying they were going to start leasing cars to everybody. So that's been going on for a while now. Volvo did that in Poland and in Norway recently as well, where you could just rent. You pay a rental fee every month. You choose whatever Volvo you want to drive and it turns up outside your door. You can have whatever Volvo you want, change them monthly,
brilliant
change
idea.
Them weekly. It's brilliant. You don't own a car at all.
Yeah.
If you don't want a car, it won't be there. Yeah. You give it back and it's finished. That's the future of ownership of a car. You won't own it. You'll rent it from somewhere else.
And you'll go from point to point. Like, it's like you go to Rome, you go to Florence, you'll see big macho Italian guys getting into tiny little city cars and they look really cool. You come home here and you go, you know, it's like a Fiat 500. I drove the Twin Air one. I loved it.
Yeah.
It sounded like a Ducati on steroids. And it went with four people on the M50. We were
brilliant car,
barreling along. Great car. But then outrageous mileage that Fiat were claiming. Nothing of the sort. It was quite a thirsty little thing, I thought.
Yeah, it is.
But you come home here and you go, would I drive one? No, because
every day.
So I drive something a little bit bigger. But tell us, this weekend, highlights car-wise, what do you reckon?
Right now, what you can buy is right there. It's the Tesla Model X, Model S. Tesla led the way for a long time, but everybody's catching up. So Hyundai has some really good offers. The Ioniq is a proper five-door hatchback.
Yes.
Kia, their sister company, have the Kia Soul and the Kia e-Niro, both them electric cars.
Soul is a cracking little car.
Lovely thing. Yeah. Looks really cool as well. A red roof and a white body and all. Looks like Christmas. PHEV and Mitsubishi here. Lots of them doing PHEVs as well. BMW have been doing PHEVs for a while, but they're very expensive.
Yes.
If you can make a PHEV work properly, you probably should be an electric car anyway. It's kind of a guessing game. Petrol and diesel is not dead.
No.
I've talked to engineers.
Far more efficient petrol engines these days as well.
Huge.
1 litre things.
The investment level going in and the amount of jobs that are out there that rely on the diesel and petrol owners to survive.
Mm.
We're talking hundreds and thousands of jobs from the car companies right the way down to your local mechanic.
Yes.
These guys can't go away. So the investment level is going on right now is in diesel and petrol. They're developing electric, but they have that. They know how that works. Now diesel and petrol is coming out. So now we have zero emissions. And we also have the petrochemical companies who are investing a huge amount of money to take out the NOx from diesel before it ever gets in your car.
Right.
So they're giving you clean diesel to put in your car in the first place and clean petrol.
And far less of the filter problems that come with diesels where you're getting your limp home light on the deck.
The DPF will be in there, but it's much more refined. We're going to have a GPF, which is a gasoline particulate filter coming in as well, in your petrol car. So all of that investment isn't just going to go away in the next 5 years. So you're totally safe buying a diesel and petrol car today for the next 5-6 years, unless something dramatic happens in the next 12 months, which is unlikely.
And finally, we're just talking about prices and the government and the subsidy we get in a car. And I kind of went, oh, that Hyundai, it's quite cheap. And then you went, hang on a minute.
Yeah, it's 10 grand. You get a 10 grand, well, you get two 5 grand grants, right? The SEAI will give you a 5 grand environmental grant, and then you get a 5 grand VRT rebate from the government as well. So that amounts to €10,000. So a Hyundai Kona is €49,000 to buy brand new without any grants. They give you 10 grand off that, so it's 39 grand. And then Hyundai manipulates some figures and they make it, you know, within reason, they grant a little bit to get it out in the road.
Sure.
So it's good for the consumer, you get plenty of money off it. But for those who can't afford to get into an electric car, it's quite a big step from petrol to electric. It can be €15,000 between the two cars being exactly the same.
And we can find out a whole lot more on your YouTube channel about all these wonderful things and information on cars. Tell us where we go.
If you go to YouTube, just look for Bob Flavin there. You'll find me. I'll come up at the top of the list. But I have an electric car playlist of all the electric cars I've ever done. It's the most played playlist in the last 12 months on Irish YouTube. I don't know how it happened, but just it's just happened because it's just every electric car that's on the market tested properly.
Bob Flavin, great to talk to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Oh, brilliant.
Thanks, Bob.
Very good.
I was just saying, you could be there all day.
Oh, I think we probably could.
No, I know, yeah. Especially when it gets cold. That's great.
You all right with that?
No.